This week, NPR News is examining the political, social, and economic effects of the Welfare Reform Act, which then-President Bill Clinton signed into law 5 years ago yesterday. It was designed to end welfare as it existed. Next year, Congress will have to reauthorize the law, and many of its controversial provisions again will be debated. To discuss the future of welfare reform, we talked to two experts. Rebecca Blank is dean of the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. She served on President Clinton's Council of Economic Advisers. Marvin Olasky is a senior fellow at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty and author of the book Compassionate Conservatism. I asked both Rebecca Blank and Marvin Olasky what surprised them most about the way welfare reform has worked over the last 5 years.
Well, conservatives have learned that the welfare system, in fact, can change. I think liberals have learned that the sky does not fall when there are some changes. Wendell Primus, who was one of three Democratic HHS officials who resigned to protest the signing of the 1996 welfare reform law, was quoted on August 12th as saying, "In many ways, welfare reform is working better than I thought it would. Whatever we have been doing over the last 5 years, we ought to keep doing." And that's a remarkable change of heart from someone on the left.
And Rebecca Blank, do you agree with that?
I agree that welfare reform has done better probably than anyone expected, but I think it's important to realize that it's not just the policy that's been important in the last 5 years. In addition, we've had an absolutely booming economy with some of the lowest unemployment rates in 40 years. So it's the combination of a policy together with a strong economy that has really made welfare reform work. And the question about what happens as we go forward depends not just on the policy, but also on the economy.
Well, what do you think happens then as we go forward? If, in fact, the economic picture continues to be less rosy than it was 5 years ago, where does that leave welfare reform?
I think it's going to make it harder to keep the same number of people at work that we have right now, and harder to maintain people without some degree of ongoing subsidies.
Dr. Olasky, does the gloomier economic forecast concern you in how welfare reform is going to play out?
Well, sure, it concerns me, but let me just point out that June O'Neill, who was chief of the Congressional Budget Office, did a regression analysis to try to figure out what part of the huge decline on the welfare rolls is because of the economy and what part because of the changes. And her analysis was that welfare reform accounts for well over half of the decline in welfare participation. When you look at particular parts of the population, like black single moms, welfare reform accounts for 83% of the increase in work participation there. So it doesn't entirely go along with a booming economy that you're going to necessarily have people off welfare. It depends on how the laws and how the culture works. Same thing when you have an economy in trouble.
One of the main changes that the welfare reform law brought about was that states are now given block grants, a total of $16.5 billion to be spent on welfare. And there are those who say that since the caseload is now cut by more than half, that the block grant should also be cut. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't be in favor necessarily of cutting the block grant because it has been easy in the economy to get a job. Staying with a job has been much harder, and so that's where we have to put a lot of our effort. So I'd rather pay the attention to not whether we can cut the bill right now, but whether we can find ways, particularly using faith-based organizations, to help people once on the job stay on the job.
Yeah, I think that actually cutting the block grant right now would be a real disaster for this program. What has really changed over the last 5 years is that states have switched their programs to being primarily work and work support programs. And those block grant dollars are going into child care support, into transportation assistance, into welfare to work programs. If we cut the block grant dollars, we're essentially cutting the work programs.
The federal welfare reform law said that, generally speaking, people could not get welfare for more than 5 years, that they should be self-sufficient within that time period. Are those time limits a good idea? And what will be happening when more and more people essentially max out of the welfare program?
You're just now really beginning to see a number of families this next fall hitting those five-year time limits. So this question of what are the impacts of time limits going to be will really be opened up in the next year or two. There's some people who ought to be off welfare 3 months after they get on. There's some people who, quite honestly, are going to need far longer than 5 years. And to enact this sort of one-size-fits-all five-year time limit program at the federal level really takes discretionary authority away from the states that I think the states need back.
Marvin Olasky, what do you think about the time limits?
Well, there already is a lot of flexibility in the system. There is the five-year time limit, but 20% of the population can be exempted. That's not exactly an Attila the Hun welfare state. It's not a hard standard to meet. We don't have to dumb it down. And let me just say, I've seen the difference that this makes in, for example, employment readiness classes before and after. I used to see these classes in the early 90s, and they were jokes because there wasn't any pressure. There wasn't any challenge to really get off welfare. It is hard to get up early and take a bus or two buses to work. You don't want to do anything that reduces the incentive to do so.
There is one school of thought that the goal of welfare reform shouldn't just be putting people to work, but that they should be lifted out of poverty at the same time with training and education for better paying jobs. Do you agree that the bar should be raised, Rebecca Blank, or is that not the government's role?
I guess I think that one of the goals of the welfare reform of 96, which was admittedly not in the legislation, but I think should have been there, is that it should be about trying to reduce poverty. And that means that one has to focus not just on the short-term, one-month, get someone into a job, any job type programs. Those are good programs, and women need work experience who haven't been out there. But that you need to think in the longer term as well about such things as retention and advancement, about wage subsidies, about the whole tax system and how it interacts, and about long-term assistance with childcare, so that you want to put together a system that essentially supports women in work and gets them out of poverty. If we don't do that, I think ultimately this welfare reform will be viewed as a failure.
Marvin Alasky, is that overreaching? Does that just overstep the bounds of what government should be doing?
Well, no, I agree that we have to be looking at more than just the income levels. I mean, poverty is not just about money. It certainly is about money, but it's also about a state of mind and a state of hope. What we're finding among people who have gone to work is that they have now turned the corner and they're hopeful, their children are hopeful. Their income has increased a little bit, according to the studies, over the past several years, but it will increase a lot more over the next 10 or 20 years as they actually, with their work experience, are able to get better jobs.
All of these questions are going to be reopened next year when Congress has to reauthorize the welfare reform law. And there's a very different political landscape now than there was 5 years ago. There's a Republican in the White House. Democrats control the Senate. The House is much more evenly divided. I'm curious what you think the impact of that might be on the debate and how the new welfare law will look when it comes up for reauthorization.
I'm hopeful that people will actually look at the record. It's good that there's an increasing reluctance, and here's the cultural change that in some ways is even more important than legislative change. It's good that there's an increasing reluctance among some of the poor to be involved in these systems. I hope if that attitude, that atmosphere continues, then the debate in Congress will be intense but amicable, and we'll be able to develop some programs building on the success of the past 5 years rather than trying to turn it around.
Rebecca Blank, do you think we'll be hearing different rhetoric now than we did 5 years ago?
I actually think the more important players in this process than the last one are going to be the state governors. And as a result, I do think Congress is going to listen much more closely to when the governors come in and say, this is what we want to happen on the reauthorization process. The other comment I would make about the reauthorization, people do widely view welfare reform as having been quite successful. The fact that so many more women are working now than were working 5 years ago, I think has taken some of the very poisonous and derogatory language out of the conversation. And I very much hope in the reauthorization discussion that we will talk about how do we support these women and that will be the focus of the conversation.
Rebecca Blank is dean of the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Marvin Alasky is senior fellow at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. Our discussion is part of this week's NPR News analysis of the effects of the 1996 welfare reform law.